Hey there, I'm country rock artist Susie Corey, and you're listening to the David Bowers Awards.
And now, around the world and around the corner, it's the David Bowers Awards, bringing the best in indie music to millions of listeners worldwide with your host, the David Bowers. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests, our entire crew here at the Asylum, and me. I'm John Bon Jovial. And now, here's the voice of indie music, the David Bowers.
Thank you very much there, John Bon Jovial. Thank you, and welcome, listeners. Here we are for another show, and we've got a loaded one for you today. We've got three great guests, all from the same source, and we're going to get to them in just a couple of minutes. First, we have our usual opening special for you, and we've got an unusual one this week. Young lady who goes by the name of Bonnie Milne. And she's here with a tune called Cherish. John, roll the music.
Thank you.
She goes by the name of Bonnie Milne. That's called Cherish. It's from her sophomore album, Perception, which will be out very soon. And she's a member of the MTS Records and Management Company. We have a guest from another record company who will be sitting in here and hosting the show with me today. First, do want to take a moment to thank our friends up in Rochester, New York at our host radio station, WRFZ FM 106.3 in Rochester, New York. It's our flagship radio station. Steve Litvak, whose Rock and Roll Rumble follows the David Bowers Awards every Saturday. And, of course, Armin Schaubrook, Armin Spins, who follows Steve Litvak, who follows the David Bowers Awards. You got all that? You got it, John?
Yeah, I think so. Is there going to be a quiz on this tomorrow?
There will be a quiz, yes, absolutely. But we thank all our friends in Rochester for tuning in every week and our friends at WRFZ. And we thank you for joining us. As I said, our first guest is the man himself, goes by the moniker of Larry Pergus, whether he's wearing his glasses or not. And he is the man at Nine North Records, Nashville, who has also brought a couple of his artists with him today. You'll be hearing some of their music, too. Larry, come on in here and say hello.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
I am good. I almost had my blanket and milk and cookies out while that last one was playing. Just taking a little nap.
That was an unusual track. The lady is a concert pianist. And she has a new album out. And I thought for a change of pace, I mean, we've done everything from rock, pop, hard rock, heavy metal to bluegrass. Thought we'd have something a little bit different today. And I didn't warn anybody, including John Bon Jovial, but he never gets to hear them until we play them on the show anyway. So that's no big deal. Listen, we're glad to have you here. First off, I want to ask you about your organization, Nine North Records.
Well, sure. First off, I want to say thanks for having me, and thanks for having my artist on as guests as well. You'll be hearing soon from a fellow named Brad Seth and another fellow named Troy Kidder, both of whom I'm really happy to work with. They aren't strictly a part of Nine North Records. That's a division that is devoted to like record promotion. But they are a part of another division that I've started up, and that's really kind of a consulting project for independent artists as well as label startups. So it's a blast working with these folks. It's great trying to help them amplify their music and their careers that are quite deserving to a larger audience. And I want to thank you for being a part of that, David.
It's our pleasure.
And we can echo those sentiments because it's a blast doing this show every week, meeting all these new artists and the frosting on the cake, like raising children. We get to follow them once they've been on here and they follow us. We keep in touch and watch as they grow in their careers and as artists, which is really, really a kick. I really enjoy that part of it. Now, you've done a little bit of both there. Explain the separation of your different parts of your organization there.
Yeah, sure. The one half is devoted to, you know, essentially record promotion and marketing for artists who come to me that need that kind of thing, that want to go to radio. There is also another group of people that want to work different paths, and that usually involves a digital path, and that involves, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube Music and all the different avenues that are out there to be promoted. So those are the ones that we work more on behalf of, you know, Brad Seth and Troy, whom you'll both hear from shortly. And it's a, like I said, it's a great time working with them, and it's great to kind of act as a human amplifier for what it is they want to achieve. Everybody comes to me, they're all very different. They all have very different goals and ideas and where they want to go, how they want to get there. Mm-hmm. And we live in a we live in a bespoke world now. I mean, we're, you know, one time, and you guys remember this, Brad Seth probably doesn't, and good for him, by the way, that he doesn't have any, you know, institutional memory of this, but I think the rest of us fellows probably do. There was a time when, you know, you'd put out an 1898 list CD, you would have one or two good songs on it, and you would get it played and get it sold and rinse and repeat, and the industry worked like that for years. I mean, Napster put paid to that. You know, then along came, you know, the iMusic store, Apple Music, which changed everything, and then came, you know, Spotify, which changed everything yet again. Yeah. I mean, the solutions to whatever ails the music industry at any given moment seems to always come from outside the industry, and then in some way ends up owning it. It's like I do find it fascinating that a company that is essentially a digital service provider, which Spotify is, right, is valued at a higher number on Wall Street than the three biggest labels combined.
Yeah, that says an awful lot in itself. Yes, it does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the industry has allowed itself to get owned by different people through the years. I mean, became addicted to 1898 list CDs and taking all the things that we'd previously bought on, you know, vinyl or cassette or whatever else, and then we had to go buy the CDs of them. And that business eventually went adrift, and then along came the iTunes store. The iTunes store replaced Walmart as a place where people got music, and they got it for 99 cents per song. So people were able to pick and choose the songs they wanted. And now we've moved into another phase of this, which is like a music rental economy. And not everybody wants to participate in that. There are some fans who do and enjoy it, and certainly fans of, like, for example, the music Brad Seth does, which is pop. I mean, that audience has absolutely gone through the Looking Glass, and the majority of what they do is streaming in terms of the way they receive music. But for country, for Christian music, for gospel, for things like that, a lot of that is still dependent on free radio, the free tiers of Spotify and, you know, Pandora and other sources that they can get music if they can even stream it. And in a lot of cases, you know, you'll have these artists tour and they'll sell a load of cleans of, you know, their music. When I say cleans, these are albums or CDs or singles that, you know, may or may not be barcoded, but people are selling them as products on the road. Yeah. And they sell a lot of product that way, because in those three formats I mentioned in particular, country, Christian, gospel, people love to hold music. That's like that's a thing they want to have. They want to have something they can hold on to. They really haven't bought into this rental economy yet at all. So these other forms of music have, but those three are stubbornly resistant to that change. So you have to, you know, when you have to design different programs for different artists depending on the, you know, their appeal, as well as the formats they appeal to. And you also have to take into consideration the people who listen to those individual formats and how they consume music. So there are a lot of different moving parts, but it's a blast. I mean, to me, I know the industry was far less interesting when it was just, you know, sell 1898 list CD with two good songs on it and eight other bad ones. Everybody was happy with that era, but I like the era of hand-cut suits. I think it's really cool. I like creating new suits for different people, you know, because they're all different and they're all wearing different things. They all want to get to a different location, and it's my job to try to help them.
And we're going to give you time a little bit later to get in and tell the folks how you deal personally, how to get in touch with you if they are looking for some services such as you have to offer. But we want to get to our guest too. And please, to that end, we're going to get to Troy in just, however long it takes to listen to his first song. Here he is, Troy Kidder.
darkness all around me, I was caught in its net. Tried to reach for you, but you weren't there. It only was a dream, but it put danger in the air. I can feel the nervous rhythm of your heart with mine. Could we ever stay together, stand the test of time? Baby, make me a believer, 'cause this world will
Troy Kidder, and here he is. Hello, Troy.
Hey, good to see y'all. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you, too, and it's great having you here on the show. Tell us, first off, a little bit about Troy Kidder so we get to know you.
I'm not sure where to go from there, but Larry mentioned I'm an educator. What started all this really real quickly with music is, as teacher, I wrote a curriculum for kids, and I wrote a curriculum to train companies and personnel about how to be a better communicator, better teammate. There's some integrity involved with that. But when I started doing training, I remember when you teach school, they'll run you through different people come in, they'll do seminars. And I'm not kidding you, I can name one in the 10 years I taught school that was enjoyable. The rest of them were just awful, boring. And boring. I'm telling you, teachers, ironically, are the worst audiences you'll ever see. We are terrible. We grade papers, we give you funny looks, we don't care. Yeah, I'm serious. I've never met a good teacher audience. We just don't want it. So I thought, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to bring it all, baby. I'm going to bring some energy. I'll pull out my guitar. I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to have activities for them to do. They are not going to sleep on me. So that's what started this. So I started doing seminars for teachers, and what they call the help group, which is your custodians and your the people that keep the school running, you know, the cafeteria ladies. And I started doing that, and that's what I did. I just pulled out my guitar, and what amazed me was, in addition to the stories, when I did music, the room changed. You know, I had a song called, a country song I had just for fun. I'm ugly, but kiss me, baby, because you're ugly too. That was my song. And no matter, I didn't finish that song yet, but I did kind of like a chorus of that. And people did, I mean, probably because they're just happy that it wasn't going to be as boring as they thought it was going to be, maybe. I don't know, but.
Absolutely.
So I would bring up the guitar, and then I'd do serious stuff to bring home my other points, and people would tear up, and it was just so much emotion. I thought, man, I can really make a difference here. This isn't just entertainment. I can make an impact and help people, because 80% of the people hate their jobs, you know. And so then I eventually signed a couple Fortune 500 companies with that, and the same thing with that, too. We wanted to bring the energy, and we wanted to bring – so I just thought, hey, I'm a closet musician. Why not bring it out and start recording some stuff? And so next thing you know, I got hooked on it. Now, instead of doing stuff for my business, I'm recording – I'm writing, recording any off minute I have. So that was like 15 years ago, now several songs into it. So that's it.
Fantastic. And when you get that country song done, we want a copy to feature on the show. I'm serious. I'd love it. I would love it. The backstory is just wonderful. I salute you for your creation and your follow through on it. That's quite something. John Bon Jovi, your comments?
Oh, well, that's a kick-ass song. I really like that. And my question for you is, I want to know what the breakdown of that is from who's playing what on there? How did you manage to put together such a full sound? And where did the concept of this come from?
I didn't write this song. It's funny, your name's John Bon Jovial, which is hilarious. But
we keep waiting for the cease and desist letter.
And it was co-written with Desmond Howard. Is it Desmond Child? That's who co-wrote the song, who wrote a lot of the Bon Jovi stuff. And so it's got, if you listen to it, it's got a Bon Jovial feel to it. It really does. Yeah. And maybe you knew that already. But the reason is this is a personal thing. Back to handing off music years ago, my wife and I were dating. We're starting to contemplate. Well, she wasn't my wife yet. We still date on occasionally when the kids allow us to. But you know, when you go from dating to start contemplating marriage, Brad, you'll figure this out one of these days. I'm helping you out now, buddy. So what happens is you start asking questions you weren't asking before. And so things can get a little tough, you know, whether you're going to make this or not. And things are getting a little rough. And she showed up at my house one day after I was teaching summer school. And back the days where she brought a cassette of this song to me. Mm. And so I remembered that. And I always loved the song. I always thought it should have been a bigger hit. I just thought it needed to be a little heavier. I needed the guitars to hit a little harder. And so that's how I always wanted to record the song. So we did. And thank you. But as far as the quality, that goes back to Billy Smiley, my producer. He's 5-time Grammy nominated. He makes me sound good. That's the bottom line. I'll tell you something funny real quickly as a kind of slide into the next song. A friend of mine was working in college. They hired Billy Smiley to help their music program. Well, he calls me one night and he says, guess who's sitting next to me? Billy Smiley's in my car. And I recognize the name. And I said, let's go. He said, Billy's agreed to listen to some of your songs. So he's going to listen to two. Well, I sent him four, all that I had wrote, that I had written. So I never heard from him, you know, nothing happened. Well, then like 3-4 weeks later, about 11 o'clock at night, Billy called me. He says, hey, man, I love your voice. And I said, yeah, but what about the songs? And I said, what about this song? He goes, no, can't use it. Oh, man, I thought it'd be great. No, he kept shooting down everything it did. I don't have to worry about him. But there was one song called Under the Blue Sky on the docket to play, which actually had a biggest success so far on the internet with. But that he said, you know, this one was a little work. I said, this could be really good. And I said, but what about this one? No, So he said, we need to write together or something. The other three are gone. So that's kind of how I met Billy. And then that was 9 years ago. And we recorded, I said, well, I'll record 2 or 3 songs. Well, we recorded 20 songs. And finally, Billy and this friend of mine together called me one night about a year ago. And they said, are you going to sit on these? Or are you going to actually do something with these songs? Get off your butt and do something. So that's where they brought Larry in and we got this thing rolling.
Fantastic. Great story. And I can see from talking with you how effective you can be and are in what you do, you know, for your side job. That's
thank you.
Yeah, it's good. You've got the talent. You've got the whole package. You got it together, and I can see why you're a success at it. I do want to, before we let you go, I do want to give you time, which we do for all of our guests, to have you tell the folks where they can find you online, how they could follow you, get in touch with you if they wanted to, and of course, most importantly, where they can get your music.
Well, actually, Larry, why don't you, I appreciate that. Well, Larry can roll it better than I can. I've forgotten Larry was in the radio business. He's got such a great radio voice, but go ahead. Give me the
okay, you got it. Here, well, the best place to find, everything Troy Kidder at the moment is troykiddermusic.com. He's also at Troy Kidder Music on Facebook. And I wanted to say, too, that, you know, Times Are Hard for Lovers and his first single, Free Free, have done well. But the one that you're going to hear in a little bit here, Under the Pure Blue Sky, Troy has crested well over 16,000 plays now across different platforms. Uh-huh. And very, very proud of it, because it's a song that is his. He wrote it. I think just sings the hell out of it. And not just because I work with him. I mean, just if I didn't, I'd hear the song and say, yeah, that guy sings the hell out of that song. So anyway, that's the best places to find Troy. And in terms of music, anywhere you consume music, you'll find Troy. So pick your place. He's there.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Thank you, Troy. And just for your information, you just stepped into it today, because we have this trap. Once you're on our show, you become part of our family. And we're going to hound you. We're going to follow you wherever we can find you. And we hope you will keep in touch with us and come back and see us later.
Well, every family has some scary members, and you just add one, but I appreciate it.
Well, you go right in, right along with this dysfunctional family. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Troy Kidder, and here's the song we've been talking about, Under the Pure Blue Sky. Under the Clear Blue Sky. Troy Kidder, right here on the David Bowers Award. John Bon Jovial, I know you've got some comments on the music and production we just listened to.
Well, you know, this being a family show, I can't use certain words to describe my delight over this, but just suffice it to say that this is a blankety-blank good song. I really like it. I really like it. Dude, you have got so much commercial potential there. It deserves terrestrial airplay. It really does.
Wow. That's a high compliment. Thank you very much.
Well, we had a good stuff. We had a host on CNN dropped an F-bomb, so I was expecting you to come across with something more than blankety-blank.
Well, I could, but then you'll just cut it out when you go into post-production. So
True story. We thank you, Troy, and we are going to bring in our next guest, who goes by the name of Brad Seth, and we want to get him on also because I know Troy's getting ready for dinner, but Brad Seth is over in Hawaii. And he doesn't want to be trapped inside any more than he can help it. So we're going to get him on next. Here he is with a tune called Lies.
You're the pearl inside my mind, shiny, expensive, I like your style. Girl, I'ma make it worth your while. Spend a few nights with you, now I'm in denial. Baby, we gotta make up time, cause I know soon, baby, that you won't be mine. You look in my eyes and lie. Now I'm alone in this game for two. Every time I talk to you, you're in alpha mood. What else can I offer you? Baby, what's on your mind, girl? Why you switching into different lanes? And you go and tell me that we ain't the same. Girl, what's going on with you? Baby, I'm real sick and tired of all your lies. Like I used to love you, but now I don't need you, I don't think that's right. Like leaving a message, leaving me hanging, fed up with all your lies. Lies, fed up with all your crazy to let you go. No, I'm doing better out here on my own. But you still lit up my phone, only on late nights when you know I'm stoned. You must have thought that I was stupid. I wasn't joking when I said love was useless. Making me wonder what I do wrong. Got me up all night writing all these songs. You're in my mind. Just some sympathy, yeah, that would be nice. No, I don't wanna talk. You only want me cause I'm back on top. No, I ain't falling for your shit this time, cause I'm so fucking tired of all your lies. Like I used to love you, but now I don't need you, I don't think that's right. Like leaving a message, you're leaving me hanging, fed up with all your lies. Lies, fed up with all. Back on top. Lies, like I used to love you, but now I don't need you, I don't think that's right. Like leaving a message, you're leaving me hanging, fed up with all your lies. Like I used to love you, but now I don't need you, I don't think that's right. Like leaving a message, you're leaving me hanging, fed up with all your lies.
Lies. That's Brad Seth. I was waiting for my cue from the director there, but
you're on. Go for it.
Great tune there, Brad Seth. Come on in and say hello.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Glad you could join us. How are things over there in that ugly little swamp you live in?
Yeah, I'm on vacation right now in Maui, but I couldn't miss this opportunity. So,
Well, we're glad you did come join us, and we want to hear a little bit about you as a person, so we get to know you, how you got going with the music, and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago, and for me, that has a lot of like influences, of course, with artists, because there's hip-hop there, pop, R&B. And I kind of mix it all together, I would say, when I try to make my music. Mm-hmm. But my first love was Hamilton the musical. I remember seeing that when I was around 9 years old and being shocked and like a wow moment. Like, this is so cool. And you can really tell stories here that are, you know, accurate and really paint a picture for the audience.
Right.
And that's when I first fell in love with it. And since then, I've just been absolutely obsessed. But I only started to write around 2 years ago when I moved to Nashville, because I went to an Ed Sheeran concert with my dad. And I always wondered what he wanted to do when he was older, but he would never tell me. But when we went to the concert, he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, this is what I wanted to do. So in my head, I was like, okay, that would be a cool thing to try and go for. And I've just been absolutely obsessed ever since.
How's your dad feel about it?
Oh, my dad loves it. You know, his dad always pressured him to do the classical piano, and he always wanted to do guitar, but his dad wouldn't let him. So he kind of lets me have free reign with what I wanted to do, which is a blessing, because I know some parents are, you know, stay in this lane, don't go for it. So I'm really happy I have parents that are supportive and really letting me go for it.
That is great. That is wonderful. And I've heard a lot of artists today doing the same basic thing, drawing from all of their history and, well, actually crossing genres with their own sound. So you're creating your own genre in that respect. Now, tell us about the song we just heard, Lies.
So Lies was written while I was in Chicago visiting my dad, and I was alone in his apartment. And I'm just scrolling on YouTube trying to find something to watch, and I found this beat, and it was kind of a simple one. It had a bass line, and that's just what I wrote off of. And the thing about me, I never really try to do, you know, a certain sound. I always like to switch it up. I kind of go with whatever vibe I'm feeling that day. And then once I showed my producer, Benny, he loved it. So we recrafted the beat to make it more uplifting, and I would say it's more of like a weekend sound, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I that's how it kind of came up with, just simple beginnings and then evolving into that.
John, I know you'd like to get in here.
Well, yeah, I think I find it interesting that, you know, you just, you know, scrolling through YouTube and you accidentally, in a karma kind of fashion, find this beat. And, you know, you find your inspiration in just the strangest of places sometimes. And, I mean, yes, YouTube is filled with a lot of pure unadulterated crap, and it's also filled with a lot of really good stuff, a lot of very interesting stuff. So to find, I don't know if a musical muse is the right expression or terminology, but for you to have found that, that's pretty cool. The production values on your song, I like. I like a whole lot. I really do. Anybody that knows me will tell you, I'm not a huge fan of auto-tune, but I detected that you use it, but you're not using it in an overbearing fashion. And
yeah, he's not using it as a crutch.
And I like that.
Hmm? I said he's not using it as a crutch.
Right. Right, yeah, and too many people do. You're not. And as I said to Troy just a minute ago, I think that this has some commercial potential to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think with me, with auto-tune especially, like you guys said, I like to use it because I like the sound it kind of makes. It makes everything more crisp. But if you use too much, it starts to sound non-human. Yeah. I always try to, like, I want there to be no, it's a person behind there, it's authentic.
Right.
But I think it, for me, I like the robotic sound just a tiny bit. It's my guilty pleasure, I guess.
No, I understand. Everybody has their likes, you know. Some people like recording with echo, some don't. So it's a personal choice. And the question there is, how much do you use? And you seem to have a pretty good handle on that.
It's like anything else. You know, use it in moderation, and it'll be fine.
Absolutely. If humans would get to understand that concept, we'd be a lot better off. Brad Seth, where do you see yourself going from here?
Where I see myself going, ideally at the top, but realistically, we got to, you know, get some bearings. I'm going to be a senior in high school this year. So me and Larry, of course, have talked this over, the plan. And we're kind of viewing this year as the year to really get a lot of production and get as much material as we can. And then once I'm done with high school, kind of push it all out in a way to hopefully give me a boost to where I don't have to possibly go to college and really focus on this and make it a true art.
Just out of curiosity now, what do you consider the top for you?
The top for me is just to have a diehard fan base, you know, just to entertain people. Because ideally what I want to do, I love music. Music's, you know, everything to me. But I want to do more than just music as well. Mm-hmm. Being from Chicago, I want to do philanthropy to help out people that are less fortunate than me in my city. And start a clothing brand. And so I have so many different ideas and, you know, hopes in my life. So I think music's the stepping stone. But I think the top for me is just being able to, you know, use my blessings and push it forward to others and maybe inspire people to do the same.
Very good. You've got a good head on your shoulders, too. You're going to go, I don't know if you're going to make the top, but you're going to go where you want to go. That's apparent. I want to give you a minute here to tell the folks how they can follow you, find you, write you, and get your music.
So my Instagram and TikTok, anywhere on social media, it's just Brad Seth, one name. You'll find me automatically, I think, because I don't think there's many people named Brad Seth. And then I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, pretty much everything. So you can just find me there. And we have a new song out, SMB, and many more to come as well.
So. And we're going to be listening to that in just a moment. I want to salute you and Troy for being what I consider very sharp in your moniker, in that all of your links are the same. You don't have one that says Brad Seth Music and another one that says, you know, Brad Seth here and stuff like that. Makes it easy for the listeners to find you. They're always the same link. Congratulations again to you. We look forward to you coming back and seeing us. You are now part of this dysfunctional family, too.
Thank you. Can't wait to be back.
Please do keep in touch. Thank you very much. And Larry, hats off to you. That was an old song, wasn't it? Del Shannon, hats off to Larry.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Larry.
That's reaching.
Want to thank you for putting this all together here today and getting
David, it's my pleasure, and it's great to be welcomed the way you and John welcome us, and me and the artists too. And I mean, as you can see, I mean, they're both incredibly professional individuals, and I think the first goal with both of them is to get them to a point where they can make money as musicians alone, which will already put them in a very rare space.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if stardom were to be another result of that, that'd be spectacular. But I want Brad Seth, you know, and Troy to be able to make a living as musicians first. And I'm taking every step I can to get them there. But like Brad Seth said, you know, he's on a different path than Troy. The whole goal with him is to get through this next year of school, you know, get as much music done as possible. Then we have to, you know, start looking seriously at getting him on the road and getting him to do features, getting people on his music as features. It's the way to blow him up.
Okay. I want to tell you one more thing too, for all of your artists, especially the ones like Brad Seth and Troy, you've been on the show. Among our plethora of social media pages is a groups page on Facebook, because that's where we started a dozen years ago, and that is the David Bowers Awards groups page, or music page, and that is open for all previous guests on the show to post any information you have about your music that you want to share, new releases, new albums, whatever you're doing, anything you want to share with your fans, post it there. We'll pick it up and share it on our other sites. So feel free.
Thank you so much for the gracious invite. I know they'll take you up on it.
Absolutely. You don't need to send a press release or anything. Just put it up there. We'll pick it up and share it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry. John Bon Jovial.
Just, you know, thanks to all three of you, Troy, to Brad, Seth, and of course, Larry, for making this all possible. And just a great interview today. Really enjoyed the music, the conversation, and hope all three of you will come back sooner than later.
You bet.
And the final note, here is Brad Seth with SMB. I'll let you figure out what it means.
Supermodel body girl, you're just my type. Every time you walk by, I just press rewind. Can't pick on nothing on you, yeah, you're one of a kind. I just wanna sit you down, give you a piece of mind. Got a vibe, you know you do it right. Confident as hell, I want you to be mine. I don't lie, I don't stun, I'm the one that you can trust. Maybe from the jump, I just knew you were the one. And it's funny how the money never lies. How a buyer is to work, girl, it come as no surprise. Put away the skeletons to help you hide your crimes. Girl, anywhere you go, just know I'm down for the ride. And you ride, cause I'm crazy about you. Thinking what we about to do, yeah, yeah. Cause I'm crazy about you. Thinking what we about to do, what we about to do, yeah. Catch the night. Like Mariah. Supermodel body girl, you're just my type. Every time you walk by, I just press rewind. Kim K got nothing on you, yeah, you're one of a kind. I just wanna sit you down, give you a piece of mind. You'll be mine, just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Just a matter of time, 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 time. Supermodel body girl, you just my type. Every time you walk by, I just press rewind. Kim K got nothing on you, yeah, you one of a kind. I just wanna sit you down, give you a piece of mind. I wanna know how you doing. I want your love on my music. If you're rising in front of my cruise ship, stop feeling lucid. Like my juice, I feel like a genius, and I got a reason. Me, you and girl, we a perfect cohesion. We know when the drama. In theatrical season, we ain't people pleasing. They said I hate me watching them leaving. No, we ain't policing. It's not our fault if they don't believe it. Yeah, they better believe it. Supermodel body girl, you just might. Supermodel body girl, you just might. Supermodel body girl, you just my type. Every time you
And there you have it, Brad Seth and SMB. Did you figure out what it means? Tell you what, drop me a line at david@thedavidbowers.com. And if you're right, I'll tell you. And that just about wraps it up for today. John Bon Jovial, what did you think?
Well, we had a pretty good show today. I was very impressed with both of our guests, and it was nice having Larry on with us as well from Nine North Records. You know, he always brings us some pretty good artists. I don't think we've ever gone wrong with him.
And no, he has some some great insight into the recording industry business.
He really does. I was impressed with his knowledge while we were talking to him during his segment at the beginning of the show. And I think that anybody that's worth their salt that wants to know what's going on in the wild, wacky, and wonderful world of indie music really should probably pay not only attention not only to us, but to Larry as well from Nine North Records. So, boys and girls, you be sure to write that down, okay?
Absolutely. Larry Parigas of Nine North Records in Nashville. And if you forget the name and address, give me a holler and be happy to send it to you so you can check him out. Great guy, nice guy, honest guy. And what I love is the fact that he knows that side of the industry like very few others that aren't in his position. He's the CEO and the head boss, Nine North Records, and he's a good man for it. We'll look forward to having him come back and spend some more time with us in the future, as, of course, his artists, Troy Kidder and Brad Seth. And we want to thank each of them for being here with us. Troy Kidder, Brad Seth, and, of course, Larry Parigas, the CEO of Nine North Records in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. And I think we've had about as much fun as we can have this week legally. So, John Bon Jovial, how about you wind up the key in your little car there and take us home?
Yeah, I just want to add one more comment to what you just said about Larry. You know, he's brought us some pretty good guests in the past. And this week we had a pretty good example of a rookie who is well on his way to establishing himself in Brad Seth. And then a seasoned musician in the form of Troy Kidder, the way that he rocked it on those two songs, that was fantastic. And then the transition to Brad Seth and his very melodic, almost soulful kind of tunes. It was very cool. It was very cool indeed.
It's a very good observation. And, of course, what you get from each is like two ends of the same candle. You've got Troy giving you his insight from the position of being an experienced artist out in the world, making a living doing it. And then you've got Brad, who is, well, he's still in high school. He's got a long way to go. So he can tell you what it's like working from the ground up and what he's done to make it, John.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think it's time for us to hit that long and dusty trail and, you know, make like Mary Ellen and jam. In other words, let's get out of here. Folks, you have done it again, as you do every single week, and we are so grateful for your presence every week of spending an hour with your life with us, and we thank you so much. We just really can't express in words how much we appreciate your presence every single week. The David Bowers Awards is broadcast around the world from our studios in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and from the Valley of the Sun in Tempe, Arizona. You know, you can help support the David Bowers Awards by on our Spotify podcast page. There's a link on there that's going to allow you to make a donation to this show. And none of that money goes into our pocket. Every penny of it goes into supporting the show, making sure our equipment is up to snuff, and making sure that we can get the word out about indie musicians and the music that they make and the conversations that we have with them. It's just all a beautiful thing. And we would really very much like to thank you for your continued support in that area. Be sure to follow the David Bowers Awards every single week. You know, you can find us all over the web. Join us next week for the David Bowers Awards on Saturday on WRFZ-FM 106.3 on your FM radio dial, otherwise known as Rochester Free Radio. And if you're not within the listening scope of their signal, you can find them on the net, on the internet at RochesterFreeRadio.com. That's RochesterFreeRadio.com, and that's going to be every Saturday at noon Eastern. And then you can also find us on RSS.com, and the link for that is, now write this down, RSS.com/podcasts/The David Bowers Awards, and that's going to be Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and 6 p.m. UTC. So until next week, for the David Bowers and all the other crew of rejects, morons, and ne'er-do-wells here at the Radio Ranch, I am yours truly, the legendary and sometimes lovable John Bon Jovial, saying be good to yourself, wash your hands, enjoy your friends. We'll see you next week right here on the David Bowers Awards.